We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mike's on, he's ready to go.
On the Fan,
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on,
he'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa on the Fan.
Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN.
All right, we come to you on this June 3rd, brought to you by Casamigos Tequila, as always, brought to you by those who drink it. Good evening, everybody. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock on this Wednesday evening. Warm day today, you know, thunderstorms bouncing around a little bit. Then it got a little nicer in the afternoon. So overall, it was a pretty decent day. You know, you got a chance to do whatever you wished, and the weather looks pretty nice the rest of the week. I mean, you might get an occasional thunderstorm, but you have some days in the 80s, so it is warming up. Maybe that is helping things. Maybe that is curtailing the virus a little bit. We had hoped that was the case. Maybe it is the case. We just don't know yet. We have nothing to back that up with, but hopefully that is the case. A couple of things going on. I mentioned yesterday that every day that I do this, it seems I come in and there is another prominent figure passing away. Now, there's a lot of different people who have accomplished a lot in sports who are in their 80s, late 80s, mid 80s. Most men in America live now until that age. I think one out of four lives to be in their 90s. 82 is about the average now. Today, it's Johnny Majors. And Johnny Majors was an incredibly prominent coach. Again, in college football. New York's not a college football town, but again, everybody knows the name Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors was a single wing halfback for the great Tennessee team. Finished second to Paul Hornung for the Heisman. Hornung, of course, won the Heisman, which was a little controversial because he wanted it on a losing team, the only player ever to win it on a losing team. Of course, that's Notre Dame. It's the only place you could ever win a Heisman on a losing team would be from Notre Dame. Hornung was a great player, no question. Majors was a great college player. But he made his mark, obviously, in coaching. Another one of these guys that I talked about the other day who you met along the way, and again, you met a lot of his assistants. Johnny Majors started at Iowa State as a head coach, putting the rungs together on his way to the top, went to Pitt, recruited a running back by the name of Tony Dorsett. Tony Dorsett, if you go back and look, had about as good a college career as a running back could ever have. You could not do more. You could say Herschel Walker in 3 years did as much. You could mention a couple of other players. Nobody could do more than Dorsett did at Pitt. His last year there, they won the national championship. Majors, of course, gets asked to come home, goes back to Tennessee, leaves Pitt to Jackie Sherrill. Jackie Sherrill has great success, obviously, at Pitt. Johnny has good success at Tennessee, never great success at Tennessee. Tennessee was a little up and down for him. Very tough league, obviously. Had some good teams, had some really good teams, but never had the great team. Never won that other national championship there. That happened, obviously, under a different coach. But he did leave his mark, first as a player, and then as a guy who really did build a lot of careers. Johnny Majors had 33 assistant coaches who became head coaches either in college, major college football, or the NFL. 33 assistants who coached under him went on and became head coaches. That's an outrageous number. If I gave you Bear Bryant's number right now, it's probably close to 60. High 50s, maybe 60. If we went back over the whole list. There's not that many guys that are still linked to me. Some of them are. Like Bruce Arians is an example, still linked to the Bear. The Bears' number was outrageous. But Major's number was very impressive, 33, as a matter of fact. Passed away today at the age of 85. So Johnny Majors, as I said, every day in some walk of life in sports, there seems to be somebody gone this whole spring. Today, it is Johnny Majors. Couple of things right here. First of all, I'll give you the bad news, then the good news. The bad news is, of course, the Major League Baseball seems to not be able to get out of its own way. And we found out a couple of clarifications today. One, we found out that the owners and the players are still very far apart, that the owners floated the shortened season after they rejected the players' long season, 112 games, which they rejected. See, it's about the players getting paid all their money on a prorated per-game basis, and it's about the owners trying to shorten the regular season to keep expenses down and still get all their playoff money. And basically not wanting to play in November. The players had their long season turned down. The owners evidently floated to the media the short season, but never officially have made that offer and state now that they're not going to make that offer, although I hear that it may be their quarter last resort. They will offer that. I gave you something I thought made sense yesterday, where they would just table everything for this year and just come up with a way to get through this season and have somebody each put together a plan and then have the arbiter pick one. But that odds are they won't do that because that's too logical and too fair. They would never do that. So baseball is moving in a very bad direction right now and getting nothing done. The NFL has pretty much stamped what they want to do. Looks like they will be finishing their championship around the 12th of October. And they have done what they wanted to do. They have quieted Lillard and they have made sure that Zion is around, which I really think that's to placate ESPN, which has had a stake in Zion from day. I think ESPN has decided Zion's part of their company, and they are going to promote him in every possible way for the whole career, like from day one. And they want him in the playoffs this year. I mean, it's a little weird what they're planning. And basically, what it is teams that are fairly close get to come in. So 13 Western and 9 Easterns get to show up. And the plan is, you play 8 regular season games, and then if you're within 4 games, if you're the 9th place team and you're within 4 games of the 8th place team, there'll be an 8-9 playoff for the last spot. If the 8th place team has locked up its spot, the final spot, by at least 4 games, there'll be no play-in. That's the plan we're hearing now. So, looks like everything in Orlando. There's still a couple of things that have to be worked out, but starting in late July, going through October, the 12th of October, and playing 8 regular season games to get ready and using that with the possible idea of a play-in for the 8th spot, depending on what happens, and inviting 22 teams to the proceedings. 9 Eastern, 13 Western. And yes, you want to call it the Zion Lillard rule? Go ahead. You can do that if you want. But the NBA getting now closer and closer to playing. NHL already, we know what their plan is. 24 teams. And as we said, baseball has not moved in any direction. Belmont opened today. And I knew he would because I had seen his name on the PPs, on the what we call the past performances. It was a baby race. But there was a horse named Fauci. Obviously, we've all, although he's gone away the last couple of weeks now that he's fallen into disfavor with the president, but Fauci has been so much a part of our last couple of months. There had been a horse named after him, and he was running today. He ran the maiden race. He got beat by 4.5 lengths. And evidently a very nice horse that they have high hopes for on the turf. He ran the dirt today, finished second, ran into a really nice Rapoli colt. Mike Rapoli's got plenty of nice colts. This was one named Prisoner. If you're wondering how that works, you can name a horse Jeter, Mantle, Fauci. You can't name a horse Dr. Fauci. You can't name it Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci, they might quibble about. Basically, what you can't do is you can't use someone's full name without their permission. You have to get their permission in writing. If you do get their permission in writing, like there was a horse named Chris Everett once. There was a horse named Bobby Mercer. If it's your full name, you have to get the person, and the person is a famous person, you have to get their full, the Jockey Club would ask that you bring a written permission signed by the person. But last names, you can use any last name because nobody owns a last name. They only own a full name. So the Jockey Club would always allow, there was a horse named Jeter, as a matter of fact. There was a horse named Mantle. I think there's been more than one named Mantle because every amount of years you can renew the name once a horse has been gone long enough, as long as it's not a famous horse. And now there is a horse named Fauci who they, what happened is the people thought they had a nice horse and they felt, here's a guy who's been in the news a lot. So, you know, it made sense. It would catch people's eyes. People like to catch people's eyes with their names. There's a lot of pandemic names, a lot of, you know, things you've heard, terms you've heard this year have become very popular. That happens whenever there's anything going on in the country. Anything that happens in the culture will be represented in the names of the horses because people are always looking for clever names or imaginative names. And remember, you have to get your horse. If you ever wondered how horses are named, they go before the Jockey Club. The Jockey Club is the one that tells you, you send in an application, 18 characters. Now, I hate horses that have no space in between the words. A lot of people only name their horses one word. Claiborne Farm's always done that, only name their horse one word. If you use multiple words, if you use spaces between the words, that counts as a character. You're allowed 18 boxes. If you use a space, that's a box. If you run out of and you jumble it all together, you're allowed to do that. But that always, I never liked that one, that look of that. Never have. Of, you know, whatever the long sentence is, and then you run it right together because you didn't use any breaks. But otherwise, it's like now when you go, the best thing I can give you is if you go to one of the sites you use, like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or anything, and you go searching and you have to go to the space bar and everything else. Same thing with this. The space bar counts. So you get 18 characters, nothing suggestive. If it's risque or it's insulting, it will be rejected. And if you want to use a personal name, it cannot be the full name unless you have written permission. Otherwise, you can use anybody's last name. It's not illegal. And it's been done a million times. And now there's one that I'm sure they didn't even ask about, named Fauci, which I'm sure he would consider a, you know, he's a sporting type. I'm sure he would consider that an honor anyway. So he probably just hopes it's a decent horse. And it looks like it probably will be. But it looked today like Rapoli's Prisoner was a little faster as he beat him by four lengths. Belmont opened today, which was nice to see. No fans, but it did open. So we had some racing back. Little by little, we're starting to move in the right direction. We'll see now that we have seen the indictments handed down in Minnesota for the policemen, if this now quiets the unrest in the cities. We'll see if that happens in the next couple of days. A lot of people have felt that would be the case. We'll wait and see if that's the case. And I'll tell you, what you have seen this week, if you've noticed, is a lot more conversation among star players about social issues and even some back and forth. LeBron and Breeze going back and forth. Different guys going back and forth. So even some back and forth a little bit this week with some of the social conversation. As you've seen players far more active this time than you have in the past. Commenting. Even coaches commenting, which we have not seen. So you're getting far more comments, really a tremendous amount of comments throughout the gamut of sports on what has gone on here in the last couple of weeks. So that is obviously something that's a little different than what we've seen in the past. Bernie and Mickey today on this June 3rd. For Bernie, it was 97 again. For Mickey, it was 58 again. So we went to the same year both times. For Bernie, 2 for 5 with a homer and 4 RBIs. Batting 327, had 9 homers and 42 RBIs on the season, which was a really good start for him. For Mickey, it was back to 1958. The Yankees moved to 29-10 with a 13-0 win over the White Sox. This was a, in many ways, a typical Mantle game. 1 for 2, 3 runs scored, 3 RBIs, 3 walks. Think about that. That's like a Bonds game during his great years. That's like the Mantle perfect example. 1 for 2, 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored, 3 walks. He had a lot of games that looked like that. June 3rd, 1958 for Mickey. June 3rd, 1997 for Bernie. You know, all right, let's get some calls up if you want to get involved. Get aboard right now. We'll get to some calls in a couple of minutes. You know, you keep hearing, or I keep seeing these different stories about people buying the Mets. Understand this, okay? Baseball doesn't want, they're very fussy about who comes and plays at their table. Think of it as a big poker game. They don't want someone to come in and spend a ton of money, which is why they didn't want Cuban in. Because they thought Cuban could become someone like a Steinbrenner, who was going to come in and spend a fortune on free agents. They don't want that guy. They want someone who's going to play ball. They want you to spend some money, but they don't want you to be crazy and drive them crazy by spending for a ton of free agents. So they want to be limited in that regard. Number two, they want you to be able to ante up. And I know a guy who was in there once, and he was in there kind of on a shoestring, and somebody said to him, one of the owners said to him, hey, if you don't have the chips, you don't belong in this game. And that's how they look at it now. And the price, the value of the franchises has become so extreme. You're talking about billions of dollars. You're not talking about millions of dollars anymore. You're talking about billions of dollars. And while I know people think, oh, there's a gazillion billionaires, there's not. There's not. And as I've said to you before, I do not think there is an athlete. I'm not talking about international athletes who I know nothing about, soccer players or somebody like that. There might be. I don't know anything about the soccer players because they might live in a place that don't pay taxes. And, I you know, they could live in Monte Carlo. I have no idea. But if you take the guys in major sports in America, there is not a player yet who I think is a billionaire. I don't think there is one. And I think that includes Jordan. And Jordan has had, A, he's been in ownership a while, and B, he's had an incredible run with Nike. And I don't think he's yet a billionaire. he might be the only one. And think about that. That's Michael Jordan, who has had an incredible success with his sneakers and has been in ownership now for a long time. But if you're thinking about A-Rod or Tom Brady or any of these guys, Derek, any of them, they're not close. They're not close. So they have to go out and get a guy. And in these plans they want to be the front guy. Because that's the fun part of owning the team. Is, you know, they want to be the player wants to be the front guy. But you still have to have a guy who's got the cash so that you don't have to borrow all the money for the team. So you got to have a guy there who's worth $1 billion without going to the bank. And that's tricky. Now, are there guys? Heck yeah. You know, can you want to go convince an owner from another sport? Most of them don't want to be in baseball. I'm telling you, unless Dolan changed his mind, Dolan told me he would never buy a baseball team. I asked him once, and he said to me, I'll never buy a baseball team. I said, why? He says, because I like to watch my teams play, and I don't want to be locked in to watch my team play in the summertime. I want to do what I want to do in the summertime. I don't want to be locked in. I go to my team's games for basketball, which he does, hockey, which he does. And he said, and this is what he told me. He told me this a couple of years ago. One time I was sitting around somewhere, and I asked him about buying, you know, owning a baseball team. Now, he's wanted a baseball team for his network for a while. We know that. But he doesn't want to own a baseball team. He could afford one, but he doesn't want one. Crafts came up the other day. I would doubt very much the Crafts would get involved in baseball. I would. First of all, they're not baseball people. They were football people, and they hit it big with the bats. But remember, they borrowed a bunch of money to buy the bats when they did. And they've hit it big, and the franchises have exploded since then, and they've done a great job monetizing and winning, both on the field and off the field. They've done a very smart job with their franchise. No one can dispute that. Mr. Kraft's done a very good job in that regard. No one could dispute that. But what you need is these Wall Street types who want to put in the money, but, you know, most of those guys are going to be like Tepper, or they're going to be like Steve Cohen. They're going to want to run the franchise, which you would too. You know, or if you went and got Rapoli, he's going to want to run the franchise. He's not going to be the second banana. He's going to be the lead guy. They're going to want to run the franchise. That's who they are. Those guys are bosses. They've made their money. They're going to want to run the franchise. They're not going to buy it and let someone else run it. Finding that guy is rare. You might find a silent guy who thinks it's a good investment that way and goes with it, but I doubt he'll be putting in $3 billion or $2 billion under those circumstances. Now, you maybe only need him. You get a whole bunch of smaller investors, you only need them to put in. Because remember, when George owned the team, George used to keep the ownership of his team in the high 50s percentile. And then he had a lot of 4% owners. And if you used to look in the ever look in a Yankee guide through the years, and you'd see that you had the Niederlander family had 4%, and Lester Crown had 3 or 4%, and Goldklang had 3 or 4%, and this one had 3% or 2%, and it all added up. And then George had 58% or 59% or 61%, depending on what he had. But he never had 100%. Al Davis did the same thing. Al Davis was managing general partner, so was George. He was the lead guy. Al Davis was the same way. When Al Davis bought the Raiders, he didn't have any money. He didn't have the money to buy the franchise. He got in there. He got a stake. He got his 30%. He got in there. He ran his partners out, and then he owned the franchise. Being partners with Al was probably not a great idea, to be honest with you. It was not a good thing. But, you know, if you come in and, you know, if you're someone who comes in and buys a franchise that has a lot of money, like the Bartolos came in and bought, Al Davis was the guy who brought Mr. DeBartolo into the league. They had a ton of money. They come in, and they made a big splash, as an example. So most of those guys are going to come now from Wall Street. That's where the money is. And they're going to want to make a splash. Wouldn't you? If you're going to put $1 billion into something of your own money and then have a bunch of smaller investors around it, you're going to want to, you know, be the guy. So to get a player like an A-Rod, to find a rich guy to be the money man, to be the anchor, and also be quiet and be behind the scenes, that's hard to find. Those guys are going to be few and far between, I would think. All right, let's get going. We'll get some calls in before we break. Kyle in Long Island. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Mike. How's everything going?
Good. What's happening?
I want to ask you a quick question about horse names. So do you remember the New York bred horse FNX? I just don't know how that name got through the jockey club.
Well, there's a couple that have gotten through the years. As a matter of fact, there was a wonderful guy who was a wonderful owner, and I loved the guy. His son still is a trainer. The man's name was Caesar Kimmel. Very big executive. Caesar Kimmel, okay? John Kimmel is his son, okay? Caesar, I used to sit next to him at Saratoga. I loved the man. Great man. And he used to try to get his suggestive names and his name. He used to play games with them all the time about getting names through that were plays on words and were, you know, playful stuff. Nothing really offensive. More, you know, little, you know, sexual innuendos, that kind of thing. And he used to love doing it and come up with these crazy names that way. But, you know, listen, they usually catch it once in a while. And thanks for the call. Guys have slipped a name past them where they didn't see it. They didn't catch the joke, you know. So, hey, could be some, you know, the jockey club is in Kentucky. Could be some lady sitting there and said, you know what, this looks good. Boom, stamps it. Didn't really pay attention to it. So, you know, it happens. But most of the time, if you put something in that's, they're going to catch it. You know, if it's over the line, they're going to catch it. Or if anyone complains about it, they might pull it after the fact, too. Abby in Jersey. What's up, Abby?
Hey, Mike. What's up? Okay, so you're mentioning athletes that usually aren't rich enough to buy their own sport, to buy their own franchise, and therefore they wouldn't have complete control like A-Rod. But I just thought of a name. I wonder what you think of it. Tiger Woods could probably pay for his own, probably 20 out of the 30 MLB teams on his own.
No, he couldn't. Not even close. Tiger Woods' net worth is probably around. He's worth about $600 million. That's not enough. No, he had a very costly divorce. Very costly divorce. He's not listed as being a billionaire. He's not. No. And again, Tiger's borderline. He's very wealthy. Now, if he's had a very good run of investments in the last year or two, and now if he's got a billion on paper, he could qualify, but last I saw, he had like he and LeBron were both in the $600 million range. At least $600 million is not enough. They want billionaires. They want teams, Major League Baseball, and and especially the NFL. But even Major League Baseball. Now listen, if you're buying a lesser franchise. And thanks for the call. If you're buying a franchise that isn't in the, you know, is a cheap franchise like Miami was, you didn't have to put up that much money. You didn't need a guy to be that wealthy because the franchise wasn't worth as much. But most, when you're talking about the Mets are $2.8 billion. They're going to want somebody to have a lot of money. They don't want the money all borrowed. So you're going to have somebody who's got a lot of bucks because you're talking about a $2.8 billion purchase. If you're talking about buying a team that costs $300 million or $400 million, of which there's only a few left, okay, if you had a team like that and the Marlins were one of them, you didn't need a guy that had that much money. But the guy he had, I think the guy's name who was his money guy was Shelton, still had a lot of money. I don't know exactly what he had. But again, that's going to the bargain basement anyway. Not every franchise is worth $1 billion. If you go down the list, they would, of course, take less money if it has to do with what the franchise is worth and how much has to be borrowed. So, you know, but the last I saw a Tiger, they had the list of athletes. They had him at like $600 and something million. Remember, he did have a pretty costly divorce, and he did stop making money for a little while, or he lost some endorsements. So I don't know if he's on the track. I don't even know. I think Jordan is the richest athlete of the, not counting Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer had gotten to the point where he was, with his businesses, he was probably worth over $1 billion. I'm sure he was. But that's, you know, he was much older, and, you know, that was much later on. And golfers, I don't know where Jack is now. I haven't seen where Jack is. Jack's probably got a pretty good amount of money, too, Nicholas. Let's see. Bob in Monticello, what's up, Bob?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
You know, I wanted to ask you, I really liked the what you were talking about, the Tigers, you know, bringing the city together. And I don't know if you saw that Vic Fangio said there's no races in the NFL. And
he's already gotten ripped. Yeah, you know, I understand what Vic meant.
I
know exactly what he meant. He was talking about himself as a coach and the fact that I would never on my team not play a player out of position because of his race. And he wouldn't. And that was the point he was making. And he got jumped on by media guys and were like, what about that? Vic wasn't talking about the front office. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the fact that you no longer have any racism on the field in the NFL, and you don't. No one cares what position a player plays now or what color he is. In the old days, you couldn't be black and be a quarterback. You couldn't be black and be a center. You couldn't be black and be a safety. And those days are long gone now in the NFL. Long gone. And that's what he was talking about.
I agree. I mean, I've always thought, certainly post-Jackie Robinson and maybe post, you know, civil rights, sports is about the only darn place where if you can do it, you're in.
Not totally in the front office, of course. It's taken more time. But if you're talking about on the field, absolutely. On the field, it's a meritocracy. And that's exactly the word he used, that it's a meritocracy. And it is. It doesn't matter now where you come from in baseball or any of these sports. They don't care what – they don't care if the guy's purple as long as he can play. And that's what the point Fangio was making. And he got beat up because – he wasn't talking about being a general manager or being in the front office or talking about a head coaching situation where everyone understands that they need to get more black assistants into the pool so they will get more black coaches. That's it. That's all it takes for it to happen. It has happened that way in the NBA. It will happen that way in the NFL. Nobody cares anymore. Owners don't care. And I'm not saying there's not an occasional owner who might have old-fashioned tendencies and might be a little old-fashioned. Like everyone said Richardson was that way. I don't know. I never met him. I don't know if he was that way. The bottom line is those guys are rare now. They just want to win. They don't care what color the guy is.
No, I want to ask a quick question off topic. Bernie Williams, I understand why you love Mickey. He's the most dynamic athlete, you know, one of them. What about Bernie Williams? Because to me, I loved him, but he was kind of not dull, but, you know, I don't know. I'm curious, what about Bernie?
Oh, he was I thought Bernie carried himself great. I always thought he did. Remember, Bernie played 16 years in one uniform, played center field for the Yankees for a very long time, was the winningest player in baseball over that long period of time, and was an incredibly clutch player who lifted his game always in the postseason. Always. He was a good hitter in the regular season. He was an incredibly dangerous hitter in the postseason. He wasn't a real power hitter in the regular season. He'd hit 25. He was a very big power hitter in the postseason. The guy lifted his game. He was great in a big spot. Incredibly clutch. Classy clutch. And played the position. They're both switch hitters. They're my two favorite players of all time. They both only wore one uniform, which is very rare now. They both won a ton of games in their careers. Mickey was probably the winningest player in baseball for his years in the majors. Bernie was the winningest player in baseball for his years in the majors. And you know what? Bernie had and they both were incredibly, incredibly clutch. I looked up Mickey late in clutch. Go look at his numbers late in clutch. They'll knock you off. They will just blow you away how good they are. His best numbers that he has in any category are late and close are the best numbers he has in any category, which shows you a guy who was deadly. And Bernie was the same way. He was big in big spots. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll take you right up until 7 o'clock, of course. JJ at that time as we move a little deeper into the month of June. You're going to wait at least another month for sports as far as, I mean, you have golf coming back. If you're a horse player, you have at least racing at Belmont started today. You have the Belmont Stakes on the 20th. So from that standpoint, you know, it's still slim pickings for a while. I mean, it's, you know, and we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what happens with baseball, which these guys... It just shows you how overwrought they understand. They're not dumb. They understand the issues. and where the country is right now. I mean, they're not blind to that. But it just shows you the utter contempt and distrust they have for each other, the players and the owners, that they can't make a move because they think each move. And remember, they're pounded by agents on one side, lawyers on the other side, okay, owners who are, you know, some of them are very, very, very good businessmen in their own right and incredibly successful. And you have some guys there that are, you know, incredible businessmen. Sternberg, as an example, is an incredible businessman, okay? You got guys there who are just very solid. But they know what they're going to do. They know how bad the hit is they're going to take. But they'd rather take that hit than give in to the other side. And one of the problems here is you always have in baseball is you don't have this problem in the other sports because you have the salary cap and you have the revenue shared. In baseball, you have a great disparity between the haves and the have-nots. So while the haves want to play, the have-nots sit there and say, hey, I'm in a small market. I got a pretty decent team. But I don't have a good broadcast. I don't have a good radio deal. I don't have a good cable deal. I don't have a good local deal. I'm not making a lot of money off my local stuff. And now I got a payroll of $135 million. I'm going to lose $250,000 a week under this plan. I'm not playing. And that's what they're hearing in the room. I guarantee you, teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, they always want to play. You know, because as soon as they come back, you know, the cash register starts. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to make as much money as they always make. They're not going to get the gate receipts. The gate receipts in baseball, when you count secondary and tertiary revenue streams like parking and concessions and everything that goes with it, signage and go on and on and on, anything that happens when you walk into the ballpark, anything you buy when you walk into the ballpark, anything that you're confronted with when you walk into the ballpark, gate receipts in baseball are enormous. It's $4 billion a year. $4 billion a year. That's a lot of their money. They're a $10 billion business. $4 billion are in gate receipts and secondary and tertiary revenue streams like parking and concessions, etc. Beer's enormous, okay? Listen, they get the beers for a quarter, selling for $8. I mean, so, you know, maybe they pay 35 cents, excuse me. So but the bottom line is that's how big their profit is. And on parking, they make a fortune and stuff like that. So it's $4 billion they're not seeing. Even if they can squeeze something out that they didn't think of before. You know, some things they come up with, whatever it might be that year. Get the players to make a couple of other appearances midweek or get some different things that they can do, whatever it is. Or they do more with signage inside their stadium and they get some companies that want to do that. It's still not going to compensate for that kind of loss. So when you have this kind of climate and you got these owners saying, hey, I'm not losing money. I'm not opening my door to lose money. And that's why they're going to try and cut down the regular season as much as they possibly can. But to play a 40-game or 50-game regular season in baseball is foolhardy. It almost becomes laughable. It really does. Let's get a couple calls in before we turn it over to JJ. Brian in Hicksville, what's up, Brian?
How are you?
What's happening?
All right. Big fan since 1993, I've been listening.
Well, thank you. Hey,
Mike,
thank you.
You know, I was you actually talking about the wealthy athletes. I read somewhere Roger Staubach, I think, is up close to $1 billion.
Well, he sold his Roger Staubach's the richest NFL guy of all time. He sold his real estate commercial real estate company for $650 million. Absolutely true. He started as a salesman. He just wanted to learn the business. He started while he was working, while he was playing, and he said to the guy, I'd like to learn the real estate business for when I retire. He built it into a business that he sold for $650 million. You're absolutely right. He is he's had an incredible life. He's one of the great players in the history of American sports, as far as I'm concerned, and probably has lived as good a life as anybody could. You know, he's a hero in every way. The guy's been unbelievable. And yes, you are, Chris, Brian, you're dead on, and thanks for the call. You're dead on the money. He is the richest NFL player of all time. At $650 million he sold his business for. Matt in Manhattan, what's up, Matt?
Hey, today, you were talking about the consequences of there not being a baseball season. And
yes.
You said that the contracts would just get moved up to next year, but I don't believe that's the case. I think they agreed that this year would count as service time no matter what.
Well, if they have agreed to that, if they don't play at all, I didn't see that. So if that's true, I'll take it as, at your word that day. If they did, most contracts get what they call told, which means nothing changes, everything freezes. Yeah. But if they're going to give them a year of service time, if they're going to give players a year of service time without ever stepping on the field this year, that's not a good thing for the owners.
Well, no. In return for that, the players are getting a pool if they don't play of only $170 million.
Well, they already got that. That was for April and May. They already got that.
That's what I'm talking about.
If they agreed to the service time, so be it. That's fine. You might be right. I didn't know if that's done or not. But to me, that's not a good thing for them because that elevates a lot of players into a different status that they want to have happen. A lot of players.
Something like that, though, because what about players that were traded for one-year deals for players?
There's so many complications on anything they do or don't do. It is a nightmare. Any way you cut this, not play or put together a foolhardy 50-game season, it is a complete nightmare on so many levels that what they're trying to do right now, and thanks for the call, is pass the worst part of it off to the other side. There's no good side here, okay? This is not a positive. No one's coming out of this in a good – no one's coming out of this whole, and no one's coming out of it in a real positive. But listen, what business in America right now is operating at full bore? Maybe there's a couple, Amazon, a couple of the internet companies, obviously Zoom and Slack and these companies that have, you know, are involved in the internet. Maybe they're operating at full bore. Maybe a couple of the internet companies are. But for the most part, a lot of companies have a lot of misery, especially the merchants who have, you know, can't get their stores opened and, you know, and now I've had to deal with looting on top of it, and now I have to deal with all those nightmares. I mean, I feel terrible for these people. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. So it's not like there's that many businesses out there that haven't impacted that. So if they already had negotiated service time for that, I'll take your word that they did. That's not a good thing for them long term. They gave up for the 2 months that they got them to agree on, which they did for April and May. That was a costly move for them if it turns out they give everybody service time, because think about the ramifications of that. Paul in Urbana, what's up, Paul?
I have an article from the Charlotte Observer about Michael Jordan, and it states that he's worth $1.9 billion, and the Hornets...
Yeah, he might be. He might be.
And the Hornets are worth $1.3.
He might be, because remember, Jordan is much older. And he has been an owner now for a very long time. So he has gotten the ownership money. Yes, he's already made the big stake that they all want to make. He's already done it. So I agree with you. Jordan clearly could be worth $1 billion. I didn't know exactly what he was worth. But when you take Nike and his ownership of the team, he's done what they all want to do. And that is get in and make the big money as a part owner. That's where the money is.
What it states here is in September that he has agreed to sell a large piece of the equity in the Hornets.
I'm sure. And what did he pay for it, does it say, originally?
Yes, $660 million. And, no, $180 million in 2010 in cash and debt.
He put in $180, and he probably didn't have to put it in cash. And didn't he make a deal with the guy? He made a deal with the guy who was from the Black Entertainment Network, if I remember right. Right? And he got his shares.
Johnson.
Yes, he got Mr. Johnson's shares, and that got him in. And that's what every other player is trying to do, get in and then have. So what Jordan paid $180 million for will be worth what when he sells it? What will it be worth?
It states here that Jordan isn't giving up majority equity or control over the franchise, but he's selling to two New York hedge fund investors.
Oh, so he's selling part of the team, but he's keeping the 50% stake. He's keeping
Gabe Plotkin. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
How about Daniel Sudheim?
I don't know either one of them. No, but there's a lot of rich. There's a lot of rich guys in New York, so we know that. But see, Jordan is, and thanks for the call. Jordan is the perfect example. Jordan made the money on the court, but nothing crazy. He made the money in Nike with his shoe deal. And then he did exactly what every player's trying to do now. He got in, if I remember right, his entree was Mr. Johnson from the Black Entertainment Network, who got him in. He didn't have to put in a ton of cash to get his percentage of the team, and he has watched, and he hasn't even done well on the field, on the court, and his team has gone up five times or six times probably what he paid. So now that gives Jordan, that's how you get up into the billions, is owning a team. I mean, look, at if you buy a team and you keep it 20 or 30 years, the Wilpons bought their part of the team. They bought half the team. The team cost $20 million when they had an option to buy half. When they bought the other half, they paid, I believe, $230 million for Doubleday's half when they bought him out. So then they had $250 million into the team, or $240 million into the team, and now the franchise is worth billions. So look how much money they've made. And that's what happens. That's why everybody wants to own teams. All these players are smart. They want to own teams. If they hold them for 20 years, they'll make a, you know, five, six, seven times their money. But everyone knows that now, and the leagues know that now, and the leagues are saying, listen, you can't come in and, you know, have the banks own everything and then think you're going to get to own the percentage for 20 years when you didn't put any money in. Now they want someone to be basically worth X number of dollars in real value on paper, be worth in the NFL $1 billion, depending on the price of the team, anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion in real value, which means not borrowing a dime. Either have it in company, have it in real estate, have it in stock, have it in whatever, have real money. And then you get to be able to come in as an owner, but you have to have that kind of value, and not that many players do. Jordan is the example of the guy who has, first of all, he's a little older, but he also has now accumulated that incredible wealth from owning the team. And he got in, as you just said, $180 million, of which he only put up X number, he borrowed the rest from Mr. Johnson, I believe was who he made the deal with, if I remember right, from the Black Entertainment Network, Robert Johnson, a while ago. All right, 7 o'clock. Casamigos Tequila, as always, brings you the program. We thank them for that. Brought to you by those who drink it. 7 o'clock, JJ comes up next.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.